Good morning. Good morning. When the cat's away, the mice will play. I always get instructed not to burn the place down. And the last time, right, I had the opportunity to run the show was during Advent, and we had the Advent wreath lit, and oh, you guys are the 8 o'clock service. Some of you might have seen this. And so we're doing the lighting, and I did not realize that was an oil candle and started to try to tip it over. And so really almost did burn the church down. I'm going to avoid that, and we're going to try not to together. So please keep me out of a little bit of trouble. Today we're closing out a June sermon series on prayer. Pastor Frank gave the first two messages earlier this month. Now, my childhood memories aren't nearly as good as his, so I can't recite favorite prayers as a kid in English, much less his native German. That was really impressive. But Kathy and I have two small children. Hannah's age 6 and Graham is 2. You might see them running around some Sundays on the patio. They're the crazy ones. And there's something about raising kids, especially the crazy kids, that bring prayer back into the center of life, at least for us, in new and wonderful ways. These days, our family prayers are most frequent and most animated over dinner. Hannah just loves to pray. She prays and asks to pray all the time. Recently recorded her giving a prayer, and it sounded a little like this. Again, this is a dinner prayer. Dear God, thank you for a wonderful day, God, and I hope you have a nice day, God, and I really am excited for summer camp tomorrow, and I hope everyone else has a good day too. Amen. And at that point, after Hannah had prayed, our entire family typically raises our hands to the heavens, and we shout together, Amen! You should hear Graham, that's the 2-year-old, belt out, Amen! He loves it. And did you hear how Hannah approaches prayer? First, she gives thanks to God. Then she expresses hope that God would have a nice day. How great is that? Next, she shares excitement about the future. Summer camp was right on the horizon. She wanted God to know how happy she was about that. And she closes with a prayer for everyone, that they too would have a good day just like she had, and that she hoped to have again. Hearing my daughter, who just completed kindergarten, throw down a prayer like that, it melts a dad's heart. Now, when it's Graham's turn, and again, he's just a toddler, prayer takes on a different form. His go-to prayer these days is the Superman prayer. Have any of you heard the Superman prayer? This one's a song sung to the Superman theme, of course, and it goes a little like this. Thank you, God, for giving us food. Thank you, God, for giving us food and our daily bread that we may be fed. Thank you, God, for giving us food. Graham's a lot better at it, I would add. So in that prayer, which is super fun, preschoolers know and love this prayer these days, we give thanks to God for giving us sustenance, for food, for daily bread. It's a simple thing, this prayer, and for a 2-year-old, it's an early reminder that there is more to our existence than what is just in front of us. It's an intro into the very nature of God, that God cares for us and meets our most basic needs. Then later at night, when the crazy fun of dinner time has waned, our prayers take a different, quieter form. At her birth, our oldest child, Hannah, was gifted this little precious moments angel. Love these things. To help us with her evening prayers. Most every night for the past 6 years, after bedtime stories are complete, Kathy and I will press the belly button of this little angel with Hannah, gets her talking and reciting this prayer together. You won't be able to hear this, but I kind of like the timing. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. May angels watch me through the night and keep me in their blessed sight. Amen. That's an important ritual for Hannah at this point. And if we forget to say that prayer, she'll remind us, making sure we've located the angel in her room and press that button so that we can pray together. There's no getting to sleep for her without that prayer. This, too, is a simple prayer, Request for the Lord to keep us safe as we sleep under the watch of angels until the new day dawns. The budding faith of children in all its simplicity is a beautiful thing. Kathy and I continue to be blessed to see, appreciate, and enjoy our kids as they express the faith of a child. But what happens to our prayer life as we age, when life gets busier, more complicated, when responsibilities increase, when we worry more than how much fun we'll have the next day at summer camp? As we grow and develop into adults, our prayer life too needs to grow, to evolve from the faith of a child into a mature adult faith. But that is easier, as you may know, said than done. And then there's this scripture reading from our passage today, from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, Paul gives us all sorts of excellent advice to the early Christian community. He encourages us to always be joyful and to be thankful in all circumstances and to hold on to what is good. But there's a really tough one in this text, at least for me. Never stop praying. Never stop praying? You might be thinking to yourself, but Pastor Ryan, how does one even do that? I have a spouse, I have kids, I have a job, friends, you know, I'm busy, I have a life. And that certainly is the reality for most of us. Think about all the various moments in life. This notion of constant prayer in the middle of everything seems maybe impossible. For example, when it's Sunday afternoon and the Chicago Bears are playing the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers are the ones to score the winning touchdown as time expires. Hey, this is my message. Well, in my mind, by default, it's all about football, not so much about prayer. And if your intern pastor is honest, really honest, he'll tell you that prayer is not exactly one of his super strong spiritual gifts. As part of the process to get ordained, there are a lot of steps, a lot of things that you're asked to do. One of the areas our synod, and that's the local governing body for Lutheran churches, asked me to work on a couple of years ago was my piety. It's a loaded word, piety. I had to look it up. I still, last night, had to look it up. And it means, apparently, reverence for God or devout fulfillment of religious obligations. Whew, that's a mouthful. I do like talking about beer a lot. It's a quick plug for the next bar church coming up on Friday, July 15th at the Kelsey Theater. Doors open at 6 p.m. We'd love to see you there. So maybe with all this beer talk, the synod figured, well, this kid should work on his piety. Perhaps. So to do that, I went to spoke to a spiritual director asking for insight. So my synod said I need to work on piety, I told her. What do you recommend? She responded with a question of her own. Well, how do you pray? I don't view prayer the way a lot of people do, I replied. Prayer for me is more of a constant conversation with God, trying to open myself up to what God is calling me to see, to do throughout the day. My spiritual director didn't quite know what to make of this at the time. We agreed to meet again and revisit our talk of piety and prayer. When we got together next, she greeted me excitedly, saying, I really thought about what you said, and I have something I'd like you to try. What she shared with me then is the daily examine. It's an evening reflection on your day. St. Ignatius, who founded the Jesuit Order of Catholics about 500 years ago, noticed that the Christians of his day, just like the people of today, just like you and I, were busy and not able to pray often throughout the day. So he developed and encouraged those in his community to add structured prayer to their daily routine. What I'd like to do is lead you through this daily examine as an example of a spiritual exercise right here this morning. The examine takes 10 to 15 minutes, typically. It's not too much time. We'll be a little quicker this morning, I promise. The examine serves as a prayerful reflection on the day that has just closed and helps prepare you for a peaceful night's sleep, gets you ready for the new day that is to come. The first step in the examine is to find a quiet place. Now, in your home, that might be your favorite chair or with legs folded, a yoga mat sitting on the floor. Personally, I have a sofa that works wonderfully for this, so think about where that could be in your house. Now, if you find yourself snoring or wake up with drool coming down your face, it might be best to find a new spot. So get comfortable, but not too comfortable. But here in the sanctuary, our options are a little more limited. So we'll go through this exercise right here in the comfort of your own seat. Nobody fall asleep. I'll be looking. Okay. Now, if you could, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and relax. This is just you and God together, nothing else. First, identify a moment of gratitude. Name one moment you are grateful for today. Remember how you felt in that moment. Notice those feelings. Simply be grateful for them, knowing that all gifts come from God. Next, ask for freedom. We long for freedom from the things that often trip us up, distract us, or bias our judgments. Pray that the Holy Spirit give you vision to be free, truly free, of those things. Pray this so we can see events in our life as they are, not how we'd like them to be, or even how we experience them to be. Then review your day. Try to recall the events of this day, almost as if you were watching a movie. What happened to you when you woke up, visited with friends, or traveled to church? Who did you encounter? Notice your feelings, positive and negative, throughout the day. Reflect on these significant moments. These are the events God is trying to tell you more about. Examine these significant moments more deeply. Finally, talk with God. Tell God anything that is on your mind. You might express gratitude or ask for forgiveness or look for God's help for a particular trouble. This is your time to be with God, who already knows your needs. Our prayer exists to change us, not to change God. This is our moment to be proactive in seeing who God most wants us to be. Amen. The exam would then typically close with a familiar prayer. Some people like to say the Lord's Prayer or something else to close out the exercise. You may open your eyes. You'll find, if you incorporate this prayer into your daily evening routine, that over time, you'll begin to see the presence of God more often and see God in the big moments of your day, the small moments, and everything in between. My experience has been this awareness of God's presence will begin to change how you see yourself, how you see others, how you see our communities, and how you see God active in our world. Perhaps that is why this daily examen is also called the prayer for finding God in all things. This takes us back to Paul's lofty, seemingly impossible challenge that we never stop praying. But if we see God, truly see God, present with us at all times in our day, to never stop praying, this ideal, perhaps that is not so impossible. For when God is in all things, when we notice God all around us and stay in constant conversation with our divine Creator, our very life becomes the prayer. Amen. Now, if you would, please rise.